A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, God delivered all these commandments. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods besides me. You shall not carve idols for yourselves in the shape of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their fathers' wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God. No work may be done then, either by you or your son or daughter, or your male or female slave, or your beast, or by the alien who lives with you. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female slave, nor his ox or ass, nor anything else that belongs to him. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Jews demand signs, and Greek look for wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, Jews and Greeks alike, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is taken from the Gospel passage we just heard proclaimed. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Being fit. I would like to tell you a little story about a man named Scott. He was 2 years older than myself when we were students together in Rome for 2 years. There's no other way to describe Scott other than being a big, humongous guy. When he tried to put his arms out to grasp like this, he could barely do so because his stomach was so big. Everybody wanted to know what size pants did he wear and how much did he weigh. It was more of a best-kept secret than how much gold there is in Fort Knox. He didn't release anything and didn't want anybody to know. Scott tried, but he always cheated so many times. When he tried to lose weight, he would find ways to cheat. He was ordained 2 years before I was, and then came back to his diocese and is serving as a priest. And then 2 years later, I was ordained and coming back to La Crosse. I had the opportunity to see him here about 30 years ago. A priest in this diocese is a good friend of his, and he invited me to come to have dinner with Scott. He said, "Now let me tell you, Scott has lost weight." And I thought, sure he did. You could line up how many different oil tankers filled with water out of the Atlantic Ocean, he wouldn't even put a dent in it. You would never notice any water was taken. But I was shocked when I saw him. He had lost so much weight. He did it because he realized he had to lose weight. If you'd ever walk with him, he would break out in perspiration. He'd have to stop and huff and puff. And there were times I thought, my God, he's going to have a heart attack. But he lost weight, and I congratulated him for it. And I said, "I hope that you keep it up and then maintain your level of health." He wanted to be fit. And I think all of us do to some degree. We want to be fit physically. That's kind of a big craze. But our gospel passage for today tells us also too our souls should be fit. And that is why I think the church gives us this season of Lent. Not only should we be fit in body, but we should also be fit in soul. Today's gospel passage, and for the next 2 Sundays, we're going to be taking it from the Gospel of St. John. I find in St. John's to kind of describe and show and indicate that Jesus had emotion. We know that Jesus had emotion when he lost his good friend Lazarus and when he went to visit Martha and Mary. There's just a two-word sentence that says this, that Jesus wept. But in our passage for today, we hear how Jesus gets very angry, very much upset because the temple had become anything but a sacred place. The temple was important and it was built and in the stages of still being built at this time of the Lord. As it had this place dedicated where you would come to pray to God, to learn about the law, to discuss, but it was to be a place in where you were to encounter God. Last Sunday, we heard how Jesus took 3 of his selected apostles and went up to the mountain and was transfigured. It was known then to go to the mountain, but the temple was to become a sacred place. And as we heard, Jesus got very angry. He drove the animals out of the temple. He overthrew the money changers' tables and told people to get these things out of here because you have desecrated this sacred place. It was important to have a place dedicated where you could come to pray and to be with God and to learn. But then Jesus changes, and we hear how he's talking about how this temple will be torn down and will be rebuilt in 3 days. Of course, people thought right away he was talking about this temple, and here it was 40-some years in construction. How could it ever be torn down and rebuilt? But now Jesus was talking about his body and his soul, and talking for them as well as us to have a proper place in which we should have prepared for the Lord to send the gift of the Spirit. We should have a proper dedicated place in which we meet, encounter God in ourselves, and that is our souls. And so I think that's important to hear from this gospel passage, how important it is, in which we hear that we, in this Lenten season, should be using this season to prepare our hearts and our souls once again, because we get so cluttered up with our sins that we make little room for God. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit and to dwell within our souls and to be an influence in our lives. One way in which we can prepare and use this Lenten season well is what we heard in our first reading today, the Ten Commandments. We don't hear them very often. It's only one Sunday every 3 years. But the Ten Commandments give us an excellent way in which we prepare a place for God's law and love to dwell and the gift of the Holy Spirit to influence our lives by turning away from sin and doing what the Lord has commanded and put into the practice his law of love. It's important to have a fit body, but it's also important to have a fit soul. So I hope and pray that you will use this Lenten season as a time, as a preparing for the Lord to once again find ways to come into our hearts and into our souls, and with the gift of the Holy Spirit put into practice the law of the Lord, calling all of us to respect God and one another. In that way, we hope that our souls are fit and a proper dwelling place for the gift of the Holy Spirit to find a dwelling place.